Hey guys, welcome to episode 13, lucky 13 of Gen Talks. This is called God Does Not Have a Plan for Our Lives. I'm Caitlin.
I'm Katie.
And that title, we feel like most people are going to be like, what? What are they talking about? But we hope that we can tie it all together and make you realize that God doesn't have a plan for our lives, but He does have a purpose. Katie is reading this really, really great book. I guess, is it a workbook?
It is a workbook. Okay. Donald Miller wrote something called Storyline, and it's finding your subplot in God's story. So we've just been contemplating the power of story and how our brains are worked for story, and being two different generations, how we are writing a story alongside God. And if we don't like the story that we're writing, that we can wake up each day and be, I want to write a new story.
Yeah.
And
it's never too late to start rewriting it. And I think a lot of people do stay in the same story that they're not really supposed to be in for a really long time, sometimes forever. That's like the saddest thing to me. And he talks about that, how that if you don't have a purpose and ambition, what are the words he uses for the ambition?
He used him, but it needed to be a noble
ambition. A noble ambition.
Yeah.
So I think that a lot of times when people don't have that noble ambition, they just kind of like trudge through life, and they have a nice family, a nice job, nice.
And this was great. It said, if your life were summarized on a movie poster, what would it say? Would it say you were trying to pay down your mortgage?
Yeah.
Would it say you wanted to buy a larger television? There's nothing morally wrong with wanting any of that stuff. It's just that it's the stuff of boring stories. To be sure, so I don't care what kind of car you drive or how big your television is, but that can't be what our stories are about. If we want to tell great stories, we are going to have to want noble things.
That's so good.
I know.
I think that we all get caught up in, paying our mortgage. And for me, I talk about it every podcast, but planning a wedding. But how boring to say.
This is Black History Month. Mm-hmm. It said Martin Luther King's story did not die with him, and neither did Mother Teresa's, or the story of William Wilberforce, which I'll catch you up on that in a minute. But, and yet they died without any stuff at all. Their stories were about the stuff of eternity, and their lives were subplots in a greater epic. If we want to tell great stories, and if we want to participate in what God is doing in the world, we need to tell stories about saving many lives. And he goes on to unpack that a little bit, that saving many lives, yes, it might look like truly being a surgeon. It might look like being a missionary. It might look like that you live your life feeding the hungry every day, all day. But it also might be that you help people in a struggling marriage, or that you help people find their story or give people a voice. But it saves lives in that it helps other people find their purpose, and it looks different for everyone.
That's so good, because we think a lot of times like, oh, I'm an accountant. I'm not doing anything to make a difference. And I've thought that a million times with any job I've had. I mean, right now, I do marketing for a company that you would never be like, wow, she's really changing the world, you know? But
There was a recently, it makes me think of, there's a man in our community, great dad. Mm-hmm. He is the CFO of a company. So he's a finance guy. He is just numbers. And there was a lady in our neighborhood, and they had four kids, I believe, and her husband died in a plane crash.
Mm.
And I can remember this man just shows up on her doorstep and said, I can't do much, and I can't fix this, but if you need any help with your finances.
Oh, wow.
I know that's probably the last thing on your mind right now, but I would be glad to help you sift through.
Well, anything. And that was the way he could help.
Absolutely. And he just kind of tapped into it going, okay, I can do this.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah, I can't. Like,
wasn't a counselor.
I was about to say, even as far as counseling her, or
no, but he's like, I can.
I can help you with
if you just dump the stuff in my lap. I can help you go
take
through
that stress off of her. And that is so good. And I've reading this, I was like thinking through while we were talking, like all the ways I know that I've helped people just by the gifts God gave me. And it wasn't that, like, I saved, like, was a surgeon or, you know, because I think about that a lot. I'm like, wow. Like, okay, well, funny enough, my fiance's ex-girlfriend, who he dated for a long time, I'm, like, bringing up lots of personal stuff, is a doctor. I mean, I think she's, like, in another country right now, like, being a doctor. And I'm like,
literally saving her
life. I mean, I like joke all the time and he actually gets mad at me, but I'm like, you really missed the boat, dude. Like, you wouldn't even have to worry about any money. Like, she's a doctor. And he's like, do you want me to say, like, yeah, I missed out? And I'm like, I think you should say that because you did. But I really, like, as much as I joke about it, when I like saw like someone post about it or something, I was like, she's really saving people's lives. Mm-hmm. But like, okay, I know that I have made a difference in people's lives before. I was talking to, so this is getting really deep, but I meant to tell you this earlier, Katie. So Katie and I were in a small group with our church like a year ago, I guess, with a girl who actually ended up taking her own life. She committed suicide. But I had a really cool full circle moment last night in my new small group. I met a girl last week who sat beside me, right beside me, and she kind of kept talking to me, and I could tell she was kind of like, not really latching on, but definitely like, oh, like, I want to be her friend, and I kind of felt the same way, because she was like, oh, I would love to go to that yoga class with you, or, oh, I don't have that many friends, like, I would love to do this, and this week, she sat all the way across from me, directly across from me. I'm going to cry talking about it, but we were talking about brokenness and how things like don't go as planned and things don't go our way. And she started crying and she said, the girl who took her own life, that was her best friend.
Oh my goodness. She just, you didn't know that?
I did not know. And she just started like sobbing. And so I started sobbing. And one of the other girls, Sarah, said, you know, I had a conversation with your friend and she said the prayer. She gave her life to Christ, you know. And then I said, I just want you to know that I had a conversation with her that was the most powerful conversation I've ever had. And when I left, I called my fiance and I said, Caleb, if that is the only thing I ever do on this earth was have that conversation with that girl, then that's okay. And she just like lost it, you know. But anyway, it made me think that like, no, I didn't like physically save her.
Because we're nobody's savior.
Because we're nobody's savior. And I'm not a surgeon in another country. But, like, I played, like, a very small part in, obviously, I can't save her soul. But, like, in saving her soul. Like, I could tell that, like, she was changed. Because I remember her telling me that she had wanted to commit suicide. And when I talked to her, she, like, was okay that day. And she wasn't okay the day that, you know, she did it, but she was okay for, like, a second.
And moments of hope are priceless.
They are. And, like that guy with the finances or whatever, like, I have a gift of words, and that's about all I can ever think of that, you know, I can do is, like, I can write words and I can speak words, but, like, I spoke words of life over her in that moment, and
we can always choose to speak words of life over people.
That's like not that doesn't take a degree or
no,
or a really intelligent, you know, I mean, you just have to do it. And that's, I don't know. That's like the whole time we were talking about this and finding our purpose and finding that ambition. That's huge because we can find those like small ambitions and small purposes every single day. And I've been trying to do better about like making every day, like having a purpose for every day. And I was talking to one of my old professors yesterday and she was like, I started making lists every single day and I make 5 things I have to get done that day. And then I go in to make bigger lists. And it was like, okay, like how hard is it to say like one thing I have to do today is like, make sure I choose my words wisely. And make sure I'm living for God and make sure I have an ambition for the day. You know, like that doesn't take a long time. And what was it that you were, I never got to listen to the podcast, but
okay, I'm going to try and remember all the things.
The 4-minute thing.
Yeah. He also Donald Miller, said that it was a practice he started a while back. So every morning he's got a piece of paper, and he has his assistant run off like 500 copies. So, because he does this first thing when he gets up in the morning, and it there's I think about five things, and I'll probably butcher it, but I will get it right in the show notes because I have it written down somewhere. But the first thing was, if I could live today over again, what would I do differently? And you're saying that before you ever start the day, because it helps you kind of troubleshoot the possibilities of the what-ifs. If it went this way, what would I do differently? So he writes down things like, he goes, some of them are, I write them down almost every day. Like, if I could live today over again, I would do something thoughtful for someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Not just, you know, think of me. I would spend more time with my spouse. He just the things that you go ahead and preemptively, you know, think through at the end of this day, what would have made this meaningful versus just busy?
Because how many times do we go to bed thinking,
oh, I wish I had.
I wish I would have done this today. Or why did I do that? Or, oh my goodness, if only I would have made the effort.
And he said one of the ones, I mean, I think he wrote down, he goes almost, I mean, every day is that I spent time with God.
Yeah.
And he's like, it reminds me, you know, when I go to bed at night and I look at my sheet that took me 4 minutes to write, did I spend time with God?
Yeah.
And he's like, most of the time, because I've taken the time to do this, I'm like, yeah, I did. Then the next one was to, what is something fun that I look forward to today?
Mm-hmm.
And to like, okay, I'm going to have dinner with friends.
Mm-hmm.
I get to take the dog for a walk.
Yeah.
I like to be outside, so I get to eat lunch at a picnic table, mm-hmm. or I get to go to the movie with my wife. So you write that down first, because it kind of gives you, like, the fun stuff and to look forward to.
You look forward to it all day long.
And then you write down, I'm trying to think, the to-do list. No, it's appointments. You filter your appointments.
Uh-huh.
So you look at all of the appointments that you have, and you're like, okay, do all of these point towards what I have decided is the ambition or the foundation or the thing that I live for.
Mm-hmm.
And when we get to the end of this list, he puts this at the very bottom, and he does it on purpose because it's his life purpose or the season of his life purpose, mm-hmm. because it's the foundation of everything he does. It's the filter. So mm-hmm. if everything in this list does not play a part in that purpose, then he can filter those out.
Mm-hmm.
So if going to lunch with this person is not really something that, you know, because his foundation was is to help people find and live a better story.
Yeah.
And and their business to define and, you know, make it clear.
Mm-hmm.
And so he kind of filters that way. So he filters through your appointments because he's like, if I have 9 appointments on my calendar for the day, never going to happen.
No.
And he's like, you should never have more than X amount. He gives a number.
See, that's so good. I really struggle with, I feel like, and it all goes back to, like, my purpose. But
I don't remember the best yes. It makes me think of that.
I know. And I've like, been
they're good.
Saying, I know. And I keep saying, I am doing better at that. So I can't be super hard on myself. But like today, like I have to work from home, but I also am supposed to go to a yoga class with a friend. I'm also supposed to go to lunch with someone. And then I have to get all this stuff together to plan a surprise party for my parents' 25th anniversary. But it's like all these appointments stack up. But how do I say, like, no, I'm so sorry I can't go to lunch with you? Like, even though I've already, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I think so often we think and that when we do go back and have to pull out of something that we have to make up some excuse and use a lot of words, but we really don't.
I guess it is in the best, yes, and I've said this like probably a million times on this podcast or to you or whatever, but the people who get mad, it was a selfish ambition. If that appointment was selfish, because if it's not, if it was for you,
right,
which is what we all should be doing, then they'll be like, okay, that's okay.
Right. And
which,
okay, we'll find another time.
I tend to always, just because of the way I am, when people have to cancel, usually, sometimes I get my feelings hurt, but if it's cancel last minute, I think, okay, they had a reason to cancel, and great, that frees up my schedule, you know? So if I ever have gotten upset, it is because it was, like, for me. Like,
right.
No, I wanted to do that, you know? So But that's so hard to do because I go back to that thing of, what if I was supposed to talk to that person and this would have changed their life, or they would have said something to me to change my life. And before we started the podcast, Katie and I were talking about how a lot of times we think like we can mess up the plan of God. And that's when we read,
because we said that he does not have a plan for us.
And then, yeah.
And it's that, the flip side of, like, we heard a message one time and it said that God is not in control, but he is in charge.
Yeah.
And the difference is that he is not a dictator or a boss, and he is not sitting us down at a dinner table saying, take a sip of your drink, now take a bite of your food. Now this is what we're going to do after dinner, and then you're going to go to bed. Because if you looked at that picture of a family, would he says in this book too, he's like, would you call it functional or dysfunctional? That would be dysfunctional. Because he, and yes, it might be all healthy options, and you might end up at the end of the day having done all those steps, but that's not what God gave us.
No.
He didn't want robots. He didn't want that. He wanted a family that was functional, and he gave a really great description in here, and he said that he had a picture of this on his computer, and it was a dad sitting next to his daughter with a big piece of butcher paper out on the floor and a box of crayons. And he said that's really kind of how I picture God mm-hmm. sitting with us, because he wants to alongside us go, okay, let's imagine and create things together. And so you start drawing this picture together. And he said, you know, but he's a good father. He goes, for example, if I wanted to be a photographer in Mardi Gras, he'd say, no, buddy.
Yeah, not a great
We're
idea.
We're not going to draw Mardi Gras here and you with a camera.
Yeah.
So let's go a different route.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to draw a parade, and this is so good too, he mentioned, and it is so in line with Bob Goff, who I think we have talked about
before. I thought
before.
Of him while you were talking about
was
this.
Was that in the part I sent you pictures of Bob Goff at all?
No,
that's
no.
his very best
okay.
friend.
Oh.
It's his very best
hello.
Friend.
Yeah.
And he said that Bob Goff, on New Year's Day, started a tradition when his kids were young. He didn't want it to be just a boring New Year's Day and everybody kind of separate, divide, do your own thing. So he started a neighborhood parade. But it's the kind of parade that, if you looked at a picture, there's no bystanders. Everyone is in the parade.
Oh.
And he said that Bob was like, I mean, it's just fun to be in the parade. So if you're going to be, you have to participate.
So it's a parade.
Everyone is
no
decked
one watches.
Out. In everyone, there's no one on the curbs. They're all in the parade.
I love that.
And he talks about participation is the key to maturity.
Yeah.
You are in the parade. You're not a bystander.
You can't watch. Well, because a lot of, my thought just now when you said Bob Goff, that he like did this New Year's Day thing was like, I wish I could do something like that. Okay, well, I can.
You totally can.
I can just
can.
Be in the parade. I don't have to watch Bob Goff in the parade, you know?
Right, and that would be what he would tell you.
Yeah, he would
start your own parade.
Do a parade in Huntsville. Yeah, he would totally do that. I was going to read this part that Katie read to me earlier, but I don't believe God has a specific plan for most people. I could be wrong, though, because there are several people in the Bible for whom God has had a specific plan. In fact, here's a little checklist so you can know if God has a specific plan for your life. According to the Bible, you know God has a specific plan for you if A, your donkey, or any other animal for that matter, talks to you. B, an angel appears before you and wakes you up because he's so bright. C, you're a virgin but pregnant. Where did we get this idea God doesn't speak clearly when he wants something? When I talk to people who believe God has a specific plan for their lives, they act like God is some kind of mystic weirdo talking to them through riddles. And we are supposed to use the Bible like a secret decoder ring. If God has a specific plan for your life, you'll know it because he'll tell you. According to the Bible, it will be very, very clear. For the rest of us, the scary truth is we get to decide what we want to do with our lives, and we get to decide with God. That was a huge, eye-opener for me.
Uh-huh.
Because, for example, with Church of the Highlands and Pastor Chris, God gave him a specific plan and a specific vision. Like, that this is what's going to happen and you're going to do it. Okay. So he spoke to him. And so many times I'm like, all right, God, tell. And I think he does.
Absolutely.
Tell me in little ways. I mean, just last night it was I literally prayed, okay, well, give me a sign about this. And sometimes I'll just say that. I'm like, look, I'm really struggling. So if you could just drop a little. And he did. It was something someone said. And it was okay. And I teared up. And this girl was probably why is she crying? I didn't say anything cool. And it was
it's just the little, really
the
when
little
we ask
things.
For signs, which sometimes we're not supposed to ask God for signs.
Yeah.
But it's basically the desire of her heart, or is that, show me that you're here. And this, yeah, yeah. You're here.
Just please tell
for
me.
Half a second. Just let me, yep. Give me something where I'm made more aware of your presence, because mm-hmm. really that's all I desire. And I do feel like he's faithful, but I think mm-hmm. it's more to opening our eyes to what is already there.
Right.
And I do believe it's possible to live in a state of recognizing his presence at all times.
Yep.
And it not being a feeling.
Yeah.
Like, that can come and go.
Mm-hmm.
And because I don't always feel his presence.
Right.
But I cling to the fact that I know that he's there. That it's there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's so good. And he just goes on to say, you know, more about him not being a controlling dictator, and that you can, like we said, you can save lives no matter what. And he leads into, and we didn't really talk about this, Katie, you are not your career.
Yes.
I'm just kind of skimming through this, but he says right here, don't feel bad about viewing your job as fundraising. Anybody who writes a screenplay has to hit the pavement, hat in hand, asking people to invest in their story. It's the same with life. If your job isn't directly connected to saving many lives, consider it fundraising. Our careers are not our stories. Our stories come from the core of who we are, and we are bigger than our jobs. If you are what you do for a living, you are smaller than your potential. That's so good.
It is.
And I struggle with that so much, and I think a lot of people, I was going to say my age, but I think it goes for any generation. It's that constant thing. I mean, every single church group, small group, anything I've ever been in, jobs, that's a huge factor in everyone's life, of trying not to find your purpose in your job. And I've been struggling with that for, well, how long have I been out of college? Almost 3 years. I've been struggling with it since I got out of college, because the world says you are your career. If you're a lawyer, you're a lawyer. If you're, you know, if you are a teacher, that's all you are. And I'm right now really view my job as a fundraiser. I mean, it does not directly, I think I've always thought that I had to have a job that directly correlates with my purpose and my gifts. And if that happened, that would be so amazing and wonderful. And it happens for a lot of people. But a lot of people, it doesn't. They work at, I talked to some guys the other day, they do sales for a plumbing store. Okay, well, that probably isn't like their lifelong dream and purpose, but they have to pay the bills and have a family. And so I'm a huge advocate of, like, if your job doesn't make you happy, quit your job and find a new one, you know, but that's not really always the smartest thing to do. But this is so cool that, like, okay, it's a fundraiser. Until you find that job that really fits, it's a fundraiser.
And there's going to be probably a lot of our jobs that are what some would call drudgery.
Yeah.
And I think of Karate Kid all the mm-hmm. time. You know, the time that he spent wax on, wax off, and he painted the fence up and down is what prepared him for the fight.
Mm-hmm.
And in those fight moments are not every moment of our life.
No, right.
But it's the drudgery, or the on the way, or the thing that we do repeatedly that prepares us for it. And remembering that, so when we're in a job and it seems boring at the yeah. time, but, like, this is part of the process, and God is doing yep. something in me, and I have to remember that as well. Okay, I mentioned this guy, William Wilberforce, whom y'all might know who that is, but he says that he was Britain's most influential leader in ending the slave trade, clarified his ambitions by saying, that God has set before me two great objects, the suppression of the slave trade and the reformation of manners. Because he identified and clearly marked his ambitions, William Wilberforce lived a fantastic story. Our mind was designed to be distracted by some kind of noble pursuit. And in light of this movie is out right now about the founder, it's called Founder, of McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
And he references him yes. here, and he says, while building McDonald's, Ray Kroc, the company's founder, repeated the same motto over and over, quality, service, cleanliness, and value. And he kept repeating it for the rest of his life.
Wow.
His ambition was clear. We'll know what to do every day of our lives when we know that.
That's so good.
It's just huge. And I think that in the midst of doing our daily grind, God does give us nudges and opportunities mm-hmm. to be this has nothing to do with anything good in me. I have a friend who her back was out, and she is a phenomenal chef. So in light of that, to ever feed a chef is very intimidating. Yeah. But she also has three teenage boys. And so I don't cook. Kayla and I have talked about this
we
before.
We don't cook.
So all of this was 100% outside of my comfort zone. But I sent her a text. I was like, hey, I can't do much, but I can buy a bunch of Stouffer's family meals.
Yeah.
And I understand, if you don't want this and this is not your need, please, it is not going to hurt my feelings, but I just thought of it. So I just took her by like three trays of Stouffer's family meals. And I was like, okay, it's so intimidating to bring this to you because you're the best cook in the world.
Yeah.
But she's like, I can't stand up hardly. My back hurts so bad. And they eat
a lot.
Three times. And they're all athletes. So she's like, no, it really, like, so I know that wasn't my nudge. Feeding people's not
your thing.
No.
Yeah,
I would rather sit and talk to y'all. I don't want to think about the next meal.
No, yeah.
But I was like, oh gosh. And so I was like, okay, thank you, God, for that. And I had time and I had the resources to buy the Stouffer's and to take it by our house and be at work on time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, okay, I'm so thankful that I just kind of leaned into that. It wasn't anything that big.
Yeah.
But it met a need that is not typically something on my radar. That those are things, like if every day we wake up going, okay, what, if we have that on our list, then we'll do that. Oh, I forgot to finish the list, and then we'll go to our questions.
Oh, yes.
So it was filter your appointments, yes, just to finish that.
So we have the first thing is what you wish you would have done, and then
what you wish you would have done differently if you could live this day over
before
you
live
the day.
And then what's going to be fun about the day.
Yes.
Your appointments.
Filter your appointments, and then it's your to-do list.
Okay.
Okay, so you go ahead and get all those written down. So it's basically, it's like clearing out the cobwebs in your mind. So I have a hair appointment. I need to unload the dishwasher. I need to take the dog for 3 walks. Just dump those things.
Dump it
because
all.
They don't take a ton of time. I need to go through my email box. But then after that, which is really the point of this whole list was to get all that out first. Mm-hmm. But then you have 3 important things you want to accomplish for the day. So I want to write the blog post.
Yeah.
I want to, whatever your 3 projects are.
Yeah.
So at your job or your work, think about, what are your 3 important things that you want to get done for that day?
Mm-hmm.
I want to paint this painting. I want to, I need to do all the finances or this for this accounting project. And he goes, I don't always get to all 3. But I'm guaranteed, I get one of them at
one
least
of them
done.
Yeah, one big project done. That's
and so then after that, I know the bottom one was, it was like, what is the foundation or the theme of your life?
Okay.
And
that's
the
so
theme
good.
Of his life he wrote. But I really did think it through the other day. And the first part was, I mean, I want to bring God glory.
Yeah.
In everything that I do. And it was the way I want to do it and the way that I worded it was that I want to leave beauty marks in my wake.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be through, so in everything I do, like, is this going to leave a scar or something beautiful behind?
Mm-hmm.
If what I'm writing, is it going to, at the end of it all, leave something beautiful, or is it going to leave something ugly?
Yeah.
When I'm having this conversation, is it going to leave something beautiful, or is it going to leave something ugly?
Mm-hmm.
And hard does not always mean ugly.
Yeah.
Hard conversations can leave a whole lot of beauty.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of the theme that I've, at this point, put at the bottom of mine. And I feel like there's one more after the important things to do. And I'll put it in the show notes.
Well, I was going to say, what is his, we can put it in the show notes. And what is his, that podcast called?
That he talked about, it was,
I was going to say, I have
the
picture
of it.
And again, it's Donald Miller. This book is Storyline.
And now he has a company. Storyline is where he started, but he actually made it. It's
Story Brand.
Story Brand. And it's helping companies define their purpose.
Yeah.
And using the element of story to help them do it, because that is why Jesus spoke in parables.
Yeah,
like our mind
everything
is
a story.
It's totally,
yeah.
It connects to story.
Mm-hmm.
So your best commercials, okay, one of the best commercials I've seen lately is the Starbucks new commercial.
I haven't seen it.
And it'll show people, and then it'll just have like a line of, okay, you have helped employee, and then give you the statistics.
Oh, wow.
You have bought this much coffee and helped this many people in a third world country.
Wow.
You have encouraged this many troops through the coffee that you have sent. You have, helped this many people support their family as a single parent. You, it was the most, but it told a story.
Yeah, that's so cool.
And also it gave you a glimpse into the ripple effect of what our lives have and can have.
And your part that you play. Yes. And I think that that ties back perfectly to, like, no, God doesn't have a dictator plan, but he totally has a purpose for you. Yeah. And you have to...
And we don't want him to have a dictator.
No, that would be no fun. And
I can remember crying out in despair at one point. Like, I was so... And I just said, please take back my free will.
Yeah.
I do not want it.
I don't want it. Yeah.
And he just... I felt now with this visual, I see him just kind of sitting next to the paper going, I'm sorry.
Yeah. You got to... You have to take that step and do it. And he wants us to... He wants us to do that so that we can see. I think a lot of it, especially, you know, for me that I've seen, he wants us to take the crayon and start drawing so that we can see that we do mess up alone. Yeah. And we do need him. And when we do mess up, he fixes it.
He'll have like a parent, it's like, mm-hmm. Okay, pick your color. He's not going to pick my color for you. Pick your color. And if I'm saying I'm drawing a tree and I start drawing a tree and I get off track, I think lovingly oftentimes he just takes our little hands. Like okay,
we do with kids.
I've had an artist before that took my hand. We were painting a pear, and she came and got my hand, and just with a few little strokes, I'm like, oh my goodness. You just shaded that whole thing. But it was so, you know, and then she let go, and I kept going.
Right.
And I just thought of that, of how that was such an example of she just waited the whole time until I could not see how to do shadowing, and one little take of my hand, and showed me with her hand on mine. And then it changed everything. And then I knew how to shade, and I could do that from then on.
Yeah.
And I think that
he does that.
Yeah.
He helps us shade, and then...
And what he doesn't do is take a paddle or a paintbrush when we're painting and we get off track and slap our hands.
And say, no, that was awful. He doesn't do that. Yeah, yeah. That's so true. That's so good.
So, we hope...
I guess it's time for our...
Yes, our lightning round. Okay. I think this was a good question. It said, list the things you did as a child to express your creativity.
I know I've told you this story. I don't know if I've told it on the podcast, but I wrote stories all the time because that's what I love to do. I have since I was little, but I would have, when friends came over to play, instead of, you know, like playing school or playing house or whatever, I would write a story. I would sit and write, and I would have a drawing competition, and they would have a contest to see who would get to illustrate my story. And the funny thing is, like, that sounds like awful, but they did it, and they got into it, and they wanted to win and be the illustrator. But so I was always writing. I had a diary. I made TV shows all the time. Like, I was always, like, my friend had a... like a camcorder, which I was like, she's the coolest person in the world. She would come over and we would have a script and make my little brother play and make videos. Like, we still have them, like a hairdresser shop. And then anyway, so I was always making stuff up. My parents were probably like, what is this girl doing? But, you know, they still remember, like, it was just always writing or drawing or making a play or something. I did one time, me and my brother made a play and made all of my parents' friends pay to come see it. And then they paid and they came to see it. We made like $25 because they all paid $1 to get in. But yeah, so what about you?
I guess we really are created to imagine and create. So I can remember my best friend and I setting up a marriage ceremony of our dogs. And I had a schnauzer and she had a dachshund. And we sent out invitations to the family. We dressed them up. This was a big
deal.
That's
amazing.
They were invited to the wedding of Sambo and Gretel. And we had somebody on the piano playing the wedding march. And they came.
Okay, real wedding.
Like, oh, it was a real, real wedding. So that would be one thing.
That was creative,
and then my cousin... and I want to talk about her in another podcast, but she was crippled. She was born crippled,
okay.
And she died a few years ago. But I would do anything to make her laugh. I don't know why. I mean, like, all I wanted to do was make her laugh. And usually I had to hurt myself. Like, I had to get a rug burn or do something. I would go over the top to make her laugh. So I guess I tried to be a comedian.
Yeah.
And then we would play Charlie's Angels with the girl across the street. So we would reenact a television show, and I always had to be Sabrina. And then I would always get locked under the desk. They would put me in the cage. I'm not sure why. I always ended up in a cage.
That's awesome.
I had diaries, lots of diaries, and I can remember writing Dear Diary, thinking to myself, I don't know who Diary is.
Yeah, but we're going to write to
him. Looking back now, I was talking to God.
Yeah.
Even so like I can remember writing on vacations, this is what we did today. I got a bunch of hermit crabs, and we made a little forest out of some seaweed, and I was telling them what I did for the day.
Yep.
And it seemed pointless at the time, because I can remember looking back on them maybe a few years later going, why would I write that?
Yep.
But I think that it is that we have it innate in us to have a conversation with our Creator.
Yep.
And
every
I was
day,
talking
yeah.
to Him then, and so I must have had something in me that was saying that somebody's listening.
Yeah, that's
it's
so
locked.
Good.
I knew nobody was going to read it. I didn't want
anyone
to read it.
And you're little and you don't.
But I must have thought to myself, I mean, somebody knows what I'm writing, and it matters to somebody, and it matters to Him.
Yep.
So I think that was probably it.
Yeah.
I would cut up Christmas cards and glue them inside my diary, like little ice skaters.
The weirdest thing I did in my diary was, I don't know why I remember this so vividly. My parents loved watching Survivor. I mean, I think we watched like the first like 25. I mean, you know, they're like 50. But I would, after the first episode, I would go write down all of the contestants. I would write them. That's the weirdest thing in the entire world. I would write them down and then I would like describe them so I could remember and keep up with it throughout the show. And my parents were like, okay, yeah, cool. And
I think that is part of the reason you were such, though. Oh, you pay attention to details.
Yeah, yeah, I do.
And there's something.
Like writing down.
And you documented it. So that was the broadcaster in you. Like, you wanted to get the details and the story accurate.
Mm-hmm. Of Survivor.
Totally of Survivor.
18 or whatever it was. Yeah, yeah, that's great.
Okay, so that is how we expressed our creativity in some ways when we were little. And we are still mulling through the whole music element of the podcast.
Yeah,
of,
we keep
intro and,
trying different things.
What, in and
outro,
out.
Yeah.
Outro.
Mm-hmm.
I think we made that word up. But for now, we don't have one, but hopefully we will soon. And honestly, if you're listening to this and we do have one, then we got one.
Yeah. Well, and if you're listening and you have music capabilities and want to
help us
contribute, then you just let us know. And
then you're in.
And anytime you want to hear about a topic or you want to comment on something we said, feel free to leave us a comment. And
yes, please leave a review
on iTunes.
On
iTunes. Yeah, we'd love that for sure. Okay, we've gone way over today, but that's okay.
Oh, crud.
That's okay. This is our longest podcast yet, but
and Kaylin's going to work, and I'm going to work today, actually,
also.
It's not my normal work day. But
yeah. So we're going to go fundraise money
for
our stories. Yeah, so we hope you have a great day, and we hope that you seek God's purpose for your life.
And remember that He's always there with you.
Yeah.
And that we are grateful that He does not swat our hand.
Yeah.
Or dictate every move.
He helps us stroke the brush.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So peace out.
Bye. Have a great day.
Have a great day.